I do want to point out a proverb that meant a lot to me, especially this last weekend. And it was, like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. Yes. Proverbs 25:25. Uh-huh. I couldn't figure out how to put that into my outline of shut up and all those other things. But this was a verse that really spoke to me. Not only Jesus coming from heaven to earth as good news, but also getting news from my ever-wandering sons and husband. And my oldest will eventually make it to China. He's the first one of us that had to go back to start in the game. He went back to Seattle to go back to Chengdu. So, anyways, it's been a fun weekend. So, words come from the heart of God. They are His revelation to us. He spoke. In Genesis, it says, "Then God said, and what didn't exist now exist." His creation. Words are powerful. God created us in His image, and as His image bearers, we were given language to communicate with Him and with others created in His image. After God commanded Adam to eat freely of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam was given his first task in tending the garden. Adam's first task was to give names to animals. In Genesis 2:19, we read, "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Adam also named his wife that God brought to him. They were naked and unashamed and walked with God in the garden. Their communication with God and each other was perfect and good. Word and meaning aligned, and all was very good. This perfect garden home was lost when a serpent invaded the garden and planted a seed of rebellion and challenged Adam and Eve's belief in the goodness of God and tempted them to eat what God had commanded them not to eat. God had warned them that death would be the result if they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Adam and Eve willingly accepted the serpent's seed of rebellion, words, like their bodies, were no longer naked and transparent with no shame. They were cloaked with selfish preservation and selfish gain. But God made a promise to Adam and Eve that a seed would come from Eve that would be untainted by the rebellious seed and crush the head of the serpent and make a way for the rebellious roots to be crushed and be replaced by an eternal seed of righteousness as a gift from God, who in love sent the seed, Jesus. Before the flood, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6:5. God said he would destroy mankind, but one man was given favor by God to carry the promised seed. Noah built an ark according to God's command. His family was saved to begin life again on the earth. But the problem of the heart remained with Noah's descendants. They hadn't returned to the garden of perfect communication between man and God and man and man. They wanted to control their destiny and live without need for God. They built the Tower of Babel. But God confused their language, and different family groups could no longer understand each other and were scattered throughout the earth. As they settled in different parts of the earth, one man, again, was chosen by God to carry the promised seed, Abraham. The heart problem of sin and broken communication continued throughout the earth. Many generations would come and go until Jesus, the Word made flesh, would come and live among us and then take our sinful hearts to the cross so that we could live righteous lives with His righteousness. His heart now beating in us instead of our own. In this fallen world, even with Jesus' righteousness, we struggle with conforming to what has already been given in Jesus. In our struggles, God gave us His Word to guide us. The wisdom in Proverbs is practical for living righteously in this world. Proverbs was written after the perfect world came under the curse of sin. It was written to give godly wisdom in living in this world corrupted by sin, but created by God with order and consequences for disregarding God's order. Choosing to submit to God's order in general will bring good to our lives. Choosing a selfish way instead of God's way in general will bring hardship to our lives. These two ways are often contrasted in Proverbs as righteous versus evil, lie versus truth, words that heal versus words that destroy. As in all of our lessons in Proverbs, the consequences are general outcomes for words spoken, not promises. Like Job, God chooses to bring suffering to His people to strengthen them and to showcase His glory. We will look today at how words can be used for good and evil in the context of the use of words throughout God's revealed word to us, the Bible. Our theme for this lesson on the use of words in Proverbs is words reveal heart condition. Words reveal heart condition. In Proverbs 18:21, we read, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "A good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." We will first look at destructive speech under the heading "Shut Up." Don't use harmful words. Point A is contentious speech. This is one of the destructive speeches that we should not use. Speech that stirs up conflict, loves to argue and disagree, thinks it is cool to constantly criticize things, grumbling if we don't get our way. In Proverbs 6:19, we read, one who sows discord among brothers is one of the six things that God hates. In Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So if we want to quiet contention, we need to control our emotions. Proverbs 27:15 through 16 said, "The continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand." So we as ladies have a role in creating a peaceful home rather than a home that is filled with strife. Proverbs 26:21 says, "As charcoal to hot ember and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." So it doesn't just stay in one place. The spark grows. Proverbs 26:20 says, "For the lack of wood, the fire goes out." So if you don't have any source, there's no fire, there's no contention. "And where there is no whisper, contention quiets down." That's part B of 20. Proverbs 26:17 says, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." And I tell you, if you take my dog by the ears and you're a stranger to him, it will not be pretty. Part B, perverse speech. That's to overturn or overthrow an established order. One commentary said that it's a word that comes from turning over a loaf of bread. But when I went back to try to find which commentary, I couldn't find it. But I thought that was a good picture of the turning over what is the order. It distorts truth and reality. Not the same as deception. It distorts truth itself. Like God's promise of the rainbow being used as a symbol of perversion of God's order in creating male and female. The person may think that what they're saying is true, and this also includes false religions as well as false ideas. It also calls sin a good thing. It seems like in our culture today we see this a lot. Proverbs 24:24 says, "Whoever says to the wicked, 'You are right,' will be cursed by peoples and abhorred by nations." Calling sin something other than sin is perverse. It is perverse to justify sin. Like the adulteress in Proverbs 30:20, where we read, "This is the way of the adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I have done nothing wrong.'" Perverse speech includes acts like our sin is not sin, or we can justify it like it is nothing. Perverse speech justifies our way of life. With our mouths, we can rationalize and minimize and excuse our sin. We want to avoid repentance, live life on our terms, instead of trusting Jesus to justify us We want to prove ourselves right. So Proverbs 2:11 says, "Discretion will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech." And Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from you crooked speech." Now, crooked speech and perverse speech are the same, in the same category. And put devious talk far from you. On the positive note, Proverbs 15:4, and in your outline it says 15:24. That should be 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. A reference to the Garden of Eden, a tree of life. But perversiveness in it, but perversiveness in it breaks the spirit. That is, it destroys the vitality of the person that perverse person is talking to. And Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life." Again, references to the Garden of Eden and life there. To turn aside from the snares of death. So listening to the wise brings life. The fruit of the righteous in Proverbs 11:30 is a tree of life, just like in 15:4, we see tree of life again. And he who wins souls, he who is wise wins souls. Not only is it good for you, but it's good for the people around you that you are influencing because they find healing in your words. The next speech to avoid is flattery, smooth talk. Flattery can exaggerate the truth to get a reaction from someone that will gratify you. Flattery manipulates. It is not a true compliment. Proverbs 7:21 says, of the adulterous woman, with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. The adulteress uses flattery to persuade. Flattery can pull your heart away from your spouse and away from God's way. Sometimes we tell others what they want to hear so that they will think well of us. Whatever the reason for flattery or for listening to it, it is condemned in Proverbs. In Proverbs 26:28, we read, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." And that is a good segue into the next point, deception. Deception can be an embellishment, an exaggeration, an incomplete truth, an omission, intentional misrepresentation, or truth in jest, perjury. Satan deceived in the garden by misrepresenting God's command to get Eve, then Adam, to doubt God's goodness and eat the fruit that God commanded them not to eat. Jesus told Jews questioning him in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do what you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the source of lying is Satan himself. Lies become a trap for those who tell lies. In Proverbs 12:13, we read, the evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape trouble. The sinners trap themselves by their lies and slander, while innocent escape from a deadly trap. Now again, this is a general truth. In Proverbs 26:18-19, we read, like a madman who throws firebrand, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You might say this to minimize pain, but you really meant what you said. Proverbs 6:16 says, Proverbs 26:24-26 says, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed to the assembly. Why do we deceive? We do it because we want something, and we think manipulating the truth will help us get it. It reveals idolatry because it shows that we are seeking satisfaction in something other than God. We try to find satisfaction in other people's approval, and we value it more than God's approval. Jesus is our example. In 1 Peter 2:22, it says that he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And as an aside here, there are incidences in the Bible where lying is not condemned, like the midwives helping birth the babies in Egypt and not telling the Pharaoh's people. And what was the other incidents I thought? Rahab. Anyways, Rahab, thank you. And there are other incidents as well. When evil men are asking for truth, that is not, we have to use discernment on what to give an evil person and not cast pearl before the swine. So we'll go on to E, gossip and slander. Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he was trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs condemns gossip and slander. Gossip is revealing a secret, while slander is defaming people's reputation or mocking them. We like to be in the know and pass on some tidbits, to other people. Some people just can't keep a secret. Can we keep the confidence we are given? Are we people that others come to for advice, knowing that we are trustworthy? Sometimes we try to disguise our gossip as a prayer request. Why do we gossip? Sometimes for revenge or out of jealousy, or because of pride from being in the know. gossip and slander is condemned throughout Scripture and in Proverbs. Point F, bragging. Proverbs also condemns bragging. It says in Proverbs 27:2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own. The thinking of our culture is self-exaltation. We see this every day on social media. We have become a very self-centered, we have become very self-centered in our culture. In our worship of self, we have exalted ourselves above God and made ourselves an idol. We are living in Romans 1. We lack humility before God and others in Romans 1, 22 and 23. Romans 1, 22 and 23, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In Romans 12:3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. These harmful words hurt relationships, but forgiveness and change are possible in Jesus. Jesus is our example of showing love in speech. In Children's Sunday School yesterday, we studied 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The reconciler Jesus died for the contentious, the perverted, the flatterer, the liar, the gossiper, the bragger, that we could have his heart of love for God and others. The gospel is not just an entry door into eternal life. It meets us where Proverbs meets us, in our daily life. The gospel is transforming as we learn to abide in Jesus and his saving work. As we learn more of the depth of his great love for us, and the more our gospel response will be to love God, including an obedience to his revealed word, and also love others again as a response to his great love toward us. Yes, the tongue cannot be tamed by anyone, as James 3:8 says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. The tongue is difficult to tame, but it can be overcome in Christ. In Romans 8:1, we read, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of abiding in Christ and letting the fullness of the gospel that is through Christ letting the fullness of the gospel, that is through Christ, but self, through, oh, I see. Couldn't figure out the sentence. That through Christ, we put self to death and are fully living in Christ. As we live out the gospel in our life, we are continually taking every thought and aligning it with Christ. As 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, we finally make it to the second point. Listen up. Wisdom is the ability to listen before you speak. Proverbs 17:27 through 28 says, he who restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Listen to the right people, those who know God's wisdom. In Proverbs 12:5, we read, the thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. And in Proverbs 4:5, we read, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and turn away from the words of my mouth. That is from Solomon teaching his son. And in 4:10, it says, hear, my son, and accept my words. And again, be attentive to my words. The wise will receive commandments. In Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And in Proverbs 17:27 through 28, it says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Control of the tongue protects you from impulsive speech and prevents self-confident speech. As in Proverbs 18:2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own speech. Listen to the right people. The thoughts of the righteous are just. And in Numbers 14, if the people of Israel had chosen to listen to the wise counsel of Joshua and Caleb instead of the foolish counsel of the 10 spies, they would have gone into the promised land instead of wandering the wilderness for 40 years. We need Jesus and his body, the church, to give us wise counsel and most of all to listen to God's word. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. When we don't listen enough, we show a gospel problem. We don't recognize that we are sinners and are prone to self-deception. We have set up ourselves as God in our lives. But not growing in Christ-likeness in this area of your life will have bad consequences. Speak up. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. As God grows us in his wisdom, we are able to speak truth into the lives of others he brings into our lives. Discernment is needed for the right word to say and whether we are the right person to give that truth. And also we need to consider if we are speaking in the right way at the right time. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful a timely word." Remember the contrast between Nabal and his wife Abigail in 1 Samuel 25? Nabal spoke harshly to David's men after they had gone, after they had done great service for him, and refused to give them food. Abigail meets David with food and apologies. Her words are healing because they calm David and his men from seeking retaliation. In Proverbs 16:21, it says, "The wise in heart will be called understanding. The sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." And Proverbs 24:26 says, "Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips." We need to express our words in kindness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God in Christ has forgiven you." Be able to give and receive confrontation, and that's going to be in Courtney's lesson, reveals how central the gospel is in your life. The cross transforms your life if you rest in it. We are crucified with Christ and live by faith. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let the gospel sink into your heart, and when you speak, it will be out of Christ's love. Pray up. Confess your sins before God and the person you have offended with your words. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." God hears the righteous that are repentant. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." But in Proverbs 28:9, it says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Wisdom from God brings our thoughts in alignment with God's created order. In Proverbs 3:19-20, it says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens." And in Proverbs 2:6, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come understanding." To the degree that the truth of the gospel grips you, you will no longer need to lie, gossip, slander, flatter. You will no longer need to exalt yourself with your words because Jesus gives grace to the humble. You will not need to justify yourself because in Christ you have already been justified. You will not need to be slanderous or unforgiving because Jesus has forgiven you. You will not need to lie to get others' approval because you have the approval of Jesus. Remember, Jesus loved you even when Jesus loved us even when we were his enemies, and he calls us to love our enemies. In Matthew 5:43, we read, "You have heard it that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you."